Norma Ray. Directed by Martin Ritt, starring Sally Field, Ron Liebman and Beau Bridges. Audio described by Therese Birch on behalf of MCS Agency, a cotton mill in present-day United States.
Ain't no miracle being born. People doing it every day. Ain't no miracle growing up. People just grow that way. So it goes like it goes, like the river flows, and time it rolls right on. And maybe what's good gets a little bit better, and maybe what's bad gets gone.
Machinery in a cotton mill grades and prepares the cotton, weaving it into cloth. A photograph album, black and white pictures, a cute smiling baby on her back. A page of the album with several pictures of a pretty toddler. The name Norma Ray is handwritten on the page.
And bless the hands of a working man. He knows his soul is his. So it goes like it goes, like the river flows, and time it rolls right on. And maybe what's good gets a little bit better, and maybe what's bad gets gone.
More black and white photos of the little girl, a pile of rolls of cotton. Women thread the strands of cotton onto weaving machines. The machinery is covered in fluff from the raw cotton.
Keeps rolling on. And maybe what's good gets a little.
A black and white photo of a beautiful dark-haired woman, another of her sitting on a bench. A sailor has his arm round her. In another, she is wearing a big hat and smiling. In the next, she's nursing a newborn baby. Then she is pictured with two toddlers. In the final picture, she's a waitress in a diner. In the huge cotton mill, Norma Ray is walking amongst the machines, checking them. She's wearing a short-sleeved t-shirt and jeans. Her hair is up. It is gloomy and noisy. She walks along the aisles between the machines. Outside, it's a sunny day. A sign says O.P. Henley Textile Mill. It is summer 1978. Tufts of cotton blow onto the grass outside the mill. Inside, a black woman pushes a trolley piled high with rolls of striped cloth. In a room off the factory floor, Norma is with another woman.
That's all you're eating for lunch, an apple?
I'm dying.
I gotta keep a shrink pot. I put these preserves on myself. Sunday. Rustman, I put up over 60 quarts of peaches.
Why can't you hold the weekend, Norma?
I soaked my feet.
I saw you in town, Sunday. Your friend drives a mighty big car.
Well, you looked on the motel register, you'd see my name there, too.
It's none of my business.
Norma turns to an elderly woman next to her.
Mama, you haven't opened up your sack yet.
She ignores her.
Mama, are you hungry? Mama?
She still ignores her.
Mama, you feeling all right?
Finally, she turns round.
Mama? Mama, can you hear me? Mama? Mama!
Mama, come on. Come on now, Mama. Come on.
running, Norma leads her mother by the hand through the machines. Her mother looks bewildered. They're in a doctor's surgery.
She didn't hear one word I say. She doesn't hear you right now.
Now, you know that happens, Norma Ray. It happens
all
the time.
Well, it doesn't happen to my mama.
It'll pass off. It's just temporary.
Oh, well, that makes it okay. She's only deaf for 1 hour. She's only deaf for 2 hours. She's only deaf all day.
Get herself another job.
What other job in this town? This is the only job.
I'll give her a note. They send her home.
Come on, Mama. They don't care anything about you.
Norma's mother is in the garden potting a plant. Norma and her father are inside washing up. Her father is wearing blue dungarees. Norma looks at her mother through the window of the small house.
You all right out there?
I'm fine.
You gonna get all bitten up?
I'll be in just a minute.
Well, I'm gonna let this pot soak.
There's one soaking from breakfast.
That's got company.
Norma joins her children watching TV in the next room.
How are you, kids? 10 more minutes of this junk, and then I want you to do your homework.
I did it.
You did it?
Yeah.
Unsatisfactory in your lettering, unsatisfactory in your reading, and your numbers aren't too good. You haven't been doing too much homework.
I want to hear.
Oh, shush you.
Norma leaves the room and sniffs her armpit. She goes into her bedroom and takes off her T-shirt. Her father follows her, turning his back while she changes.
What are you getting fixed up for?
I'm going into town.
What do you need in town?
Things.
Okay, I'll drive you in.
You got Bonanza on next.
Oh, no, I'm going to miss that. That's the same thing every week anyhow.
I'm going to JCPenney's, buy myself some panties and a white cotton brassiere, size 32B. You want to come along and sit on a little stool outside the dressing room and have all the ladies look at you, then come on.
No, ma'am, I don't care to do that. You coming straight back?
No. After that, I'm going to the drugstore, buy myself some Kotex pads and a Cosmopolitan magazine.
Mm-hmm. Then you coming home?
Yeah. After that, I'll be so tired out from all the excitement, I'll be coming home.
Mm-hmm.
Norma brushes her long hair. A man appears on the doorstep.
Hi. Mr. Wichard?
That's right. Vernon Richard. Who are you?
My name is Reuben Warshawski.
Warshawski. What kind of name is it?
The kind you have to spell for telephone operators and head waiters.
What do you want?
I'd like to get me a room with a mill family.
What for? We got a hotel, 12 rooms. Got a motel, 36 rooms.
I want to get to know some mill hands close up.
Why is that?
I'll tell you, Mr. Witcher. I just got into town about an hour ago. Hi, how are you? I parked my rented car, got out, and before I had a chance to adjust my crotch, the chief of police was on me saying, "Who are you? I don't know you. What the hell are you doing here?" So I told him I was a labor organizer. Come to put a union in the O.P. Henley textile mill. And he said, "The hell you are, boy." And he gave me a ticket and told me to get my ass elsewhere right quick.
He was dead right, too. As far as I'm concerned, all of you people are communists, or agitators, or crooks, or Jews, or all four rolled together. Every time you people come into a town, the folks get thrown out of their jobs, they
Excuse
get their
me,
heads
sir.
Busted in.
Do you mind if I ask you a question? How much do you make an hour?
I make $1.33 a frame.
And when did you have your last cost of living raise?
I haven't had that.
With all due respect, Mr. Witchard, with today's inflation, that makes you a bit of a schlemiel.
You calling me some kind of a name?
You're underpaid. You're overworked. They're shafting you right up to your tonsils. You need me, sir.
I think maybe if you run real fast, you're going to get back to your car before my dog bites you.
What are you telling that for? We ain't even got a dog.
You don't need one.
He turns and leaves. Norma watches him go to the car. She is sitting in a motel reception, reading a magazine, when Reuben comes in.
Hey, how you doing?
You have any vacancies?
Yes.
Thank you. Hi.
Hey.
Very friendly little town you got here. So far, I've been told to shove off, get off, and go away.
Oh, it's okay. Make sure they spray your room for roaches.
You got roaches down here? I'm very familiar with roaches. You have a room with a view?
You got the back alley or the parking lot? Which?
Back alley or parking lot?
Him 31, Alston. Can't hear the drunks from in there.
A tall, good-looking man in a garish shirt arrives and takes a key. Norma looks at him. He doesn't acknowledge her. She is doing up her bra in a motel room. The man comes out of the bathroom bare-chested, doing up his trousers.
I'll be back this way next Wednesday, after dinner. I'm having dinner with my wife's folks.
Tonight was the last time, George.
You don't say, Norma Ray. Well, now, isn't that a surprising turn?
No. Been coming on for some time.
You know something funny? I didn't notice it. I mean, didn't you get your steak dinner? Didn't you get your box of pralines? Didn't you come 3 times in a row in that bed over there?
I wouldn't count.
Well, that looks like I don't know what it takes to satisfy you these days, doesn't it?
Just doesn't sit well with me anymore, George. And you got your wife, got your 2 kids in high school. There's a lot of gossip. I got my 2 kids. I don't know. Just doesn't make me feel good.
You're here to make me feel good.
She scowls at him.
I'm not trotting down here anymore.
Why, you hick. You got dirt under your fingernails. You pick your teeth with a matchbook. I seen you. Shit, what the hell are you good for anyway? You come out of that factory, you wash under your armpits, you come on down here and spread your legs for a poke, and then you go on home, and you're dumping me.
He slaps her, and she falls against the wall. She leaves the room holding her bloody nose. Reuben comes out of his room.
I heard a hell of a thump.
Yeah, that was me getting thrown across the room.
Come here, I have some ice for that. Come on. Sit down, please.
She slowly walks in and sits on the bed. Reuben goes into the bathroom, putting ice in a cloth.
You look all shook up. Here, put this on.
She holds the cloth against her nose.
Thought everybody down south was Ashley Wilkes.
You lie down with dogs, get fleas. Well, hey, what? Does this look broken to you?
Go like this. No, I don't think so. You want aspirin?
No, thanks.
Band-Aid?
No.
Valium?
You're a whole drugstore.
I'm a mild hypochondriac. Keep that on.
Reuben puts a plastic bag with his first aid kit back in the bathroom.
Man, I'd have learned to say no right from the start. But for one man, I don't know what it would be.
Reuben is unpacking.
You got a lot of books.
Oh, yeah. Terrified I'm going to wake up in a motel room one morning and have nothing to read but the phone book.
She got big eyes.
Yeah. Got a big brain, too.
What's her name?
Dorothy Finkelstein. She's a hotshot labor lawyer out of Harvard.
Well, she must be your girlfriend if you haul her picture around with you wherever you go.
I don't know. We sleep together on Sunday mornings and then we read the New York Times, and I guess that makes her my girlfriend.
Reuben is unpacking a stack of books.
Hey. I'm Norma Ray Wilson.
Reuben Warshawski.
Nice to meet you.
My pleasure. Keep that on your nose.
Hey, I'm real sorry about my daddy. He got a short fuse.
Yeah. Well, my credentials keep me out of a lot of places. I'll tell you. Every once in a while, someone opens up their door to me, puts me in their best bedroom, and treats me just like I was a cousin. life.
Well, that sure as heck wouldn't be my daddy. You a Jew?
I beg your pardon?
Are you a Jew?
Born and bred.
I never met a Jew before.
How you doing?
They shake hands.
I heard you all had horns.
Circumcised, yes. Horns, no.
Well, as far as I can see, you don't look any different from the rest of us.
Well, we are.
Yeah? Well, what makes you different?
History.
Oh.
Got it now?
She looks at the cloth containing the ice.
Yeah, it looks better.
I think it stopped. Thanks a lot for the ice.
Anytime.
Christ, I hope not.
Good morning. Read this when you have a chance. I'm from the Textile Workers Union of America. Good morning. Thank you. Here you go. Read this when you have a chance on your break. Thank you. Good morning. I'm from the Textile Workers Union of America. Want to read this when you have a chance, please? Thank you. Here you go. Want to read this when you have a chance, please?
Reuben is distributing leaflets to mill workers as they go into work. Norma and her parents arrive in their car.
Thank you. Good morning. You want to read this when you have a chance, when you get home? Good morning. Read this on your break, please. Good morning. Thank you. Want to read this when you have a chance, please? Good morning. I'm from the Textile Workers Union of America. Want to read this when you have a chance on your break? Want to read this on your break? Okay. Morning. I'm from the Textile Workers Union of America. You want to read this when you get home, please?
Good morning. I'm with the Textile Workers Union of America.
Norma and her parents walk in past Reuben.
When you have a chance, thank you. Good morning, I'm with the Textile Workers Union, as you know, of America. Read that on your break, please. Good morning to you. I'm with the Textile Workers Union of America.
Hey, it's too many big words. If I don't understand it, they ain't gonna understand it.
Good morning.
That fellow a friend of yours, Norman?
Looks like it's getting to be.
You better hot-foot it or you'll be late.
No, I don't care if I don't get there till tomorrow.
Thank you very much. If you have any questions, I'm at the Golden Cherry Motel, room 31. Read this on your break. Okay, don't be late for work now, folks. Good morning to you. Thank you. Good morning.
Reuben is locked outside the mill gates.
All right, lady wants to go to work. I'll catch you later.
Well, one of you guys shows up about every 4 years. About the same time we get the locusts.
What's your name?
My name?
Yeah.
My name's Jimmy Jerome Davis.
Well, Jimmy Jerome, we already got 6 of you boss men in civil contempt. Would you care to make it 7?
Why, hell, we plaster the toilets with them things.
Jimmy Jerome walks away.
Want to read this on your break?
He waves dismissively.
Asshole.
Norma is working at her machine. A boy comes over, taps her on the shoulder, and points to another man standing outside the office who indicates she's wanted by the boss.
Breakfast, Norma Ray.
Norma gives him a withering look and leaves her machine. She walks past her mother and touches her on the shoulder. The office door is held open for her. Her boss sits at his desk.
Whatever it is, I didn't do it.
Norma, you've got the biggest mouth in this mill. Give us a longer break. Give us more smoking time. Give us a Kotex pad machine.
Do it, now shut up.
Well, we'll do better than that. We figure the only way to close that mouth is to hand you a promotion. You're going up in the world, honey.
Yeah? How far and for how much?
Well, we're going to put you on spot checking.
Norma looks unimpressed.
Well, hell, it sure ain't going to make me any friends.
It'll make you another dollar and a half an hour.
She starts to appear interested and takes a clipboard off him. She leaves the office slowly and looks around uncertainly at her fellow workers. Holding a clipboard and stopwatch and wearing an overall, she observes a black man at work on a machine. He ignores her. He is adjusting the threads of a fabric as it's being woven. The machinery is covered in white fluffy cotton. Norma taps a young man on the shoulder and has a word with him. She writes on her clipboard. He walks away. She follows him to his machine. Her father is putting spindles of white thread on a machine. Norma watches him and times him on the stopwatch, looking uncomfortable. Vernon continues working. Norma walks down steps from the house, wiping her hands with a cloth. Outside, her mother is washing clothes in a tin tub, and her father is washing his face in an outside sink. Norma flicks him with her cloth.
Well, what? I guess you're sore at me?
I don't think you should push your own daddy.
It's more money, Daddy. I need it for my kids.
Well, I don't need it for my kid.
He moves away from Norma, drying his face and hands. She follows him to the foot of the steps and watches as he goes indoors. She goes over to her children, who are playing in the dirt under the house.
Millie, Craig, what are you doing in Grandma's marigolds? You know she's going to kill you. Come on, Craig, get up from there. Look at you.
I don't want...
Well, you do it anyway. Look at your behind. It's filthy dirty. It's all full of dirt. I asked you to watch him. Cleaned once.
It's night time. A baseball scoreboard says Henleyville Fairgrounds. A little boy sits underneath it. A batsman prepares to receive the ball, encouraged by his team. He hits the ball and runs. In the crowd, Norma and her friend from the mill are seated whilst all around are on their feet. The friend, wearing an off-the-shoulder blouse, is eating. Norma Ray gets up.
Hi, can I have a hot dog, please?
Okay.
Thank you.
Hi, Wilna. Hi, Norma. Have two dogs? Okay, just a minute.
Norma notices Reuben.
Hi. You enjoying the game?
Oh, yeah. I love the shortstop. Guy really goes right into the hole.
No, that's J.C. McAllister. Scouts are down here looking at him.
Reuben has a mouthful of hot dog.
What's the matter? You don't like it?
This is not Nathan's. I don't even think this is a hot dog. What the hell they put in these things?
A lot of red dye and other things you don't want to know about.
Excuse me a minute.
He spits it out into a napkin and throws it away. Norma smiles. She carries her two hot dogs over to the mustard and pickles. A tall blonde man joins her.
Hello, Norma.
Hey, Ellis.
You're looking fine.
I'm always fine. I'm a horse.
Reuben watches.
Changed your hair.
It grew.
Norma looks at Reuben.
How's Craig?
Lost a tooth. You know, it wouldn't hurt if you came by to see him every now and then.
I don't believe I can do that, Norma.
Well, suit yourself. You always have.
She glances at Reuben again. Ellis leaves.
Give me a Coke, will you, please? You want a Coke?
Yeah.
Two, please. Thank you. Here, this is for hers. Mine. Keep the change, don't you?
Here you go.
Norma and Reuben walk side by side.
I climbed into the back seat of his Cadillac one rainy night 6 years ago, stuck my feet out the back window, and got myself my little Craig off that southern gentleman. He ain't done nothing worthwhile since.
Did you get married?
He didn't bother. I didn't bother.
My first affair, as I recollect it, was with my Hungarian piano teacher. I was playing Smetana. She put her head in my lap.
I tell you, I played the hell out of that.
Next thing I knew, we were in her bedroom underneath a Russian icon, and her husband came home and found us. The poor guy burst into tears. I felt so bad. I went up to him, put my arms around him, said, "Hey, man, I'm sorry. I'm really sorry." And we all went into the kitchen and had a glass of tea.
Norma seemed stunned.
I guess it seems like every time you run into me, I'm hassling with some other guy.
That's what it seems like.
What do you think of me, I wonder?
I think you're too smart for what's happening to you.
At the mill, Norma, sighing, trudges wearily past large rolls of cotton, stopping her stopwatch and writing on her clipboard. She approaches a young man in a white vest on a machine, watches him and writes on her clipboard. He stares back at her disdainfully and beckons to her.
Come on, lady, I'm over here now. I got to jump on you.
He moves to another part of the machine. She follows.
Come on, lady, come on, come on, come on, come on. Lock me down, lock me down. I'm over here now, lady, come on. I'm over here.
Norma watches in astonishment as he throws himself into a trolley of cotton. He jumps out and hides behind the bales, popping up in between.
Come on, lady! Come on, over here! Come on, lady! Come on!
You damn fool! You're going to get both of us that job!
It's evening. Norma and her mother sit in the living room. Norma is folding clothes. Her mother is so...
I'll get it.
She wearily opens the front door. It's the boy from the mill. She closes it in his face.
Hey!
Holding up her hand, she opens the door again.
I won't trouble you. I just came to apologize. I know I could have lost you your job today.
Well, you sure went crazy on me.
I know. I got handed divorce papers this morning. I guess I went off my head.
He shrugs, looks embarrassed, then smiles. Relenting, Norma comes out onto the front step, pulling the door to behind her to give them some privacy.
Well, things can get to you.
They stare at each other.
Would you come and have a drink with me? Just to make up for the ruckus and all the bother I put you to. I'm Sonny Webster. He used to come in my mama's bakery.
Norma looks surprised as she recognizes him. She puts her hand in front of her open mouth, then points at him, smiling.
Sonny Webster?
Yeah.
Sonny Webster, I remember you.
You used to stand behind the cash register and give everybody the wrong change.
I never was too good at math.
You're telling me? Sonny Webster, golly.
How about that drink?
Okay. Just wait 1 minute, will you?
He looks as though he can't believe his luck as she goes indoors.
Who was that? I heard a man's voice.
Yep, you did. I'm going out with him.
Where'd you meet him?
Just now, on the front porch.
Some Tom, Dick, or Harry comes to the front door and you got your hat on? No, sir.
Daddy, I'm over 21, way over.
Let me say some names to you, Norma. Buddy Wilson, Ellis Harper, George Benson, a U.S. sailor, railways bus driver, none of which is looking after you as far as I can see. I got that spot. It's my roof, my food.
There's something wrong with this. There's something wrong with the way you try to keep men off me.
There is nothing wrong with a daddy's love for his little girl. You ought to be grateful for your daddy's love.
You're loving me to death.
In a bar, Norma leans over a jukebox drinking a can of beer. She joins Sonny at a table.
It's all wrong, but it's all right. It's all wrong, but it's all right.
God darn, that lady can sing. And her words are so true.
I like Elvis myself.
Oh, I wish I could just make a whole lot of money by opening up my mouth and wailing.
It don't necessarily make him happy.
What does?
Oh, I think a man and a woman is about your best chance.
You are fine one to talk. Didn't you tell me you got a gun? You went skinny along on your belly underneath the bushes, took a beat on your wife, and you was able to blow her head off?
I was going to burn both down. Her and her boyfriend. but I couldn't. She's a real good person. When we went to school together and all. Real nice person, but then the change had come over her. Still really amazes me.
Listen. I'm a lot different from what I was. I mean, you go through things. Hey! Woo! New York! Hey, man! New York! Hey, buddy! Hi! Hey, come on over here!
Hey, we need anybody else?
More the merrier. Reuben! Jolly! Here you are with your papers and everything.
Come on out!
Come on, Reuben! Sonny, this is Reuben Wabashowski.
How about it? Sit down. Sonny, hi. All right, why don't you sit down?
Sit down, take a load off. What are you doing here?
I'm working.
You're working?
Yes,
ma'am. This is a drinking place.
Drunk or sober, I want it. Well, can I pour you out one?
No. Thank you. I'll just have some plain seltzer.
All right, here, you just drinking club soda then, is that it?
That's it, I'm sorry.
Well, you're going to feel a whole lot better than I will tomorrow morning.
Reuben is a union man. He's going to put a union in the mail.
But there ain't ever been one.
And maybe its time has come.
Well, there better be more than one of you, because there's more than one of them.
There will be.
The big companies get everything they want, you know. Everything goes to the rich man.
You getting tired of it?
Oh, when I do, I just wash it down with bitter, you see.
Hey, you know what? You know this song on the jukebox? This was a song, I remember it was on the radio the night they called me up and they told me my husband had been killed in a fight in a beer joint.
Yeah, I knew Buddy Wells in high school.
You did?
Yeah, we had wood shop together.
You did? Yeah, God. He was drunk and he got in a fight and he broke a beer bottle. And then this other guy, he had a broken beer bottle, too. I remember I went down to the funeral parlor because I wanted to see him, you know. And this old guy, he comes out and says that he didn't think it'd be a good idea if I'd see Buddy because he wasn't prepared yet. I don't know. I really just wanted to see him. And my daddy wouldn't let me.
Reuben stares at Norma intently. Sonny is slumped in his seat.
Well, that were the end of Buddy. As far as that goes.
Norma and Sonny take a drink from their beer cans. Norma, Sonny and Reuben leave the bar.
I'm gonna drive.
I'll drive.
What do you mean you'll drive? You're drunk.
So are you.
I think I'll drive.
No. Here we go.
This way.
Reuben steers them towards his car.
I went out with one man and I'm coming home with two. Now that sure as heck is gonna surprise the hell out of my daddy.
He sure keeps a close watch on him, doesn't he?
Yeah, we're close. I remember. He used to drive 250 miles to take me down to Crescent Beach. He used to buy me a chicken dinner and take me swimming and tell me jokes. And we used to sleep in the back of the car, you know. We'd wake up that morning and we'd walk out on the sand. It was all wet and everything. He bought me this ring. I wear it all the time. Reuben, would you pull the car over? I think I'm going to be sick.
Hang on. Easy. I'd help you, Norma, but I think I'd give it up, too.
Reuben stands over Norma while she vomits in the darkness.
Oh, yeah. That was real ladylike of me.
It's all right. I did bedpans one summer at Stuyvesant Hospital.
One of these days, I'm going to get myself all together.
We'll make it soon, because one of these days, I'm going to start in on you.
She wipes her mouth and smooths her hair. Reuben is distributing leaflets outside the mill. Norma approaches.
Thank you. Read this when you have a chance, please. I took your advice. Cut it down to two syllables.
One's better.
Good morning. Good morning. Read this when you have a chance, please.
Morning, Norma, right?
Jimmy Jerome looks at Norma as she comes through the gates. In the mill, Norma walks past the black man she'd been watching before.
Hey, Lucius!
He blanks her. She looks confused. She walks up to a middle-aged woman who's putting reels of thread in a trolley.
Morning, Lynette!
Lynette ignores her. Norma walks on looking troubled. She walks up to an elderly man who's hiding at the back of the mill eating crisps.
Hey, Billy Joe.
He looks up at her, then carries on eating.
What the hell is going on around here? I'm talking to you!
Fink.
Well, shit.
She storms off. He carries on eating. She squeezes past a trolley and stomps into the manager's office.
Nobody out there is talking to me.
Less talk, more work.
Yeah, well, they're my friends, and they go stay my friends. I'm quitting. I'm quitting right here, and I'm quitting right now. You're speeding them up so you can weed them out.
You knew all that.
Yeah. Well, I'm screaming. Don't. And now I'm sorry if you can just go ahead and fire me.
No, we won't do that. We'll put you back to work in the weaving room, Norma. Your family's been with this mill a long time.
She throws down the clipboard and leaves the office, pulling off her overall and throwing it to the ground. She goes up to her mother in the weaving room to show her she's back and stands by a machine. Her friend comes over and puts a tool belt around her waist. Norma looks surprised. Sonny pulls up in his truck outside Norma's parents' house. Her mother is on the porch.
Good morning.
Morning. Hey.
Hey.
We all ready?
All of you?
All three of us.
Norma stands on the porch, flanked by her two children.
Well, then, everybody hop in.
Okay. Millie, you can climb in yourself. Okay, now be careful, don't fall down.
What's your name, big guy?
Frank, and that's Craig, and this is Craig. I want you to put your feet on the floor. Bye. Bye, Mama.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. I want to sit up front.
Well, you can't.
Are we there yet?
No, we're not there yet, you silly Willie. Goodness sakes. We just started off. I thought we were going to the lake.
We are. I gotta make a stop first.
Well, you should have done that before you got in the car.
This is Alice. She's mine.
Sonny puts his little girl in the back of the truck.
Well, like I always say, the more the merrier. Okay, you can watch what you're doing now.
At the lakeside, the three children balance on top of a fallen tree.
Next time you get up there yourself.
Alice, over here.
Sure easy with your kids.
I yell at them. I swat them.
Norma and Sonny sit together.
You're a pretty woman.
I was good at 18, but things have kind of slipped and slid.
You look all right to me.
Keep the lights down low, I'm all right.
Well, I'll take you where it's dark.
I've been there.
Sonny turns and stands up, hitching up his trousers.
I don't owe a nickel in this town. I'll eat anything that's put down in front of me. I can fix anything electrical. I'm all right after my first cup of coffee. I want that bad, though. I got me a new job at the gas station. I turn my paycheck over the minute I get it. That's every Friday. and I come straight home from work, and I stay there. I got me and Alice. We're alone. You got your two kids, you're alone. If you could help me, maybe I could help you.
It's been a long time between offers.
They stare intently at each other.
Kiss me. That's all right. And everything else will be.
Sonny nods and stands up in front of Norma. She grabs the front of his shirt and pulls him towards her. They kiss. Tentatively at first, then more passionately, as they hold each other. In the sunshine by the lakeside, the children play together.
And now, by the authority vested in me by this sovereign state, I pronounce you man and wife. If you like, you may kiss the bride.
Sonny nods and turns to face his bride, Norma. They kiss briefly. She hands her bouquet to her friend from work.
Mother over here has a little homemade wine for us. Picked the berries myself last summer.
Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you.
To my wife, Norma Ray. And, I just hope I can keep up with her.
At the mill, Norma's friend hands her a flyer saying TWUA meeting tonight.
Doctor says I shouldn't go, but I think I'm gonna. I'm not asking anybody. I'm going.
Norma's friend walks away. Her friend looks across Delusion and nods. Norma and her friend walk towards the Black Community Church for the meeting. Reuben is addressing a small crowd inside.
On October 8th, 1970, my grandfather, Isaac Abraham Wachowski, age 87, died in his sleep in New York City. On the following Friday morning, his funeral was held. My mother and father attended. My two uncles from Brooklyn attended. My Aunt Minnie came up from Florida. Also present were 862 members of the Amalgamated Clothing Workers and the Cloth, Hat, and Cap Makers Union of America, also members of his family. In death, as in life, they stood at his side. They had fought battles with him, had bound the wounds of battle with him, had earned bread together, and had broken it together. When they spoke in one voice, and they were heard. And they were black, and they were white. They were Irish, and they were Polish, and they were Catholic, and they were Jews. And they were one. That's what a union is. One. Ladies and gentlemen, the textile industry in which you are spending your lives and your substance, and in which your children and their children will spend their lives and their substance, is the only industry in the whole length and breadth of these United States of America that is not unionized. Therefore, they are free to exploit you, to lie to you, to cheat you, and to take away from you what is rightfully yours: your health, a decent wage, a fit place to work. I would urge you to stop them by coming over to room 31 at the Golden Cherry Motel to pick up a union card and sign it. Yes, it comes from the Bible. According to the tribes of your fathers, ye shall inherit. But it comes from Reuben Wachowski. Not unless you make it happen. Thank you.
Norma gazes at Reuben, looking inspired. Her friend goes up to him.
Everybody should have come. They should have heard you.
Next time.
I have to drag them. Hey, you preach real good.
When are you going to join up?
Me? Who's got the time?
Make the time. Sleep less. Because if I don't get some help soon, I'm out of here. And you got nothing. Hey, I appreciate any help, thank you, that you can possibly give me. Licking stamps, stuffing envelopes, typing with two fingers, anything.
I'll show up.
All right, thanks.
Lucian shakes Reuben's hand as the church empties. Reuben drives up to the mill gates, holding a paper cup of coffee in his mouth. He has a shoulder bag full of flyers. Three mill managers await him.
I'm here. I'm ready to inspect your plant. The federal government of the United States, brothers, in accordance with federal court order number 7778, states the following. The union has the right to inspect every bulletin board in the mills at least once a week to verify in person that its notices are not being stripped off.
They move aside to let him pass.
Do you have a trash can?
Inside.
Keep America beautiful.
Downstairs.
He throws his cup in a bin. They walk past a sign. Employees stay in department until whistle blows at shift change. One of the managers hands Reuben ear defenders.
Thank you!
They walk briskly onto the factory floor. Reuben tips his cap at a worker.
Morning!
The manager stops and faces Reuben, watched by Lucian.
I'll slow down a little bit.
Appreciate it. Let's keep it to a basic saunter.
Watched by the managers, Reuben stops by a man in dungarees.
Good morning. I'm Reuben Wachowski of the Textile Workers Union of America. What is your name, brother?
Buffum.
Mr. Buffum? How long have you worked here, sir?
12 years.
You like your job?
I'd like to keep it.
Yes, sir.
Wachowski, you're interfering with the work. Court order says you can't do that.
Well, then, brother, let us both keep to the letter of the law.
I ain't got no kite, brother.
I don't think it's meant to use that word.
I meant it.
You did, huh? Well, shit, now I'm gonna have to start and get into a fight, huh?
Come on, the bulletin board's over here.
Bulletin board's over here.
The manager takes Reuben by the arm. He snatches it away. Lucian watches. They stop in front of the bulletin board. Reuben raises his hands in exasperation.
Somebody's looking to get into a carpool. Somebody wants to sell a basset pump. And you can pick pecans for 40 cents a bushel at Selma Levy. Isn't that terrific? The only thing missing is my notice.
It's there.
It is. I don't see it.
The manager points up to the top of the board. Reuben looks up.
Wilt Chamberlain on stilts could read that thing, maybe. Want to bring it down to eye level, brothers, where everybody can read it?
We'll make note of your request.
Why do you guys pull this horseshit, huh? I have to go to the phone, call my lawyers, and get them on your ass. That's childish. All right, where's the payphone and who's got two nickels?
Hey!
Rick, bring it down.
Rick climbs on a box and takes down the union notice.
I left.
Rick climbs down. Reuben secures the note with another pin, exasperated.
You ain't supposed to read the damn thing.
No union organizer, not even a no-union member, has been inside the fences or walls of this factory for more than 10 years. I'm reading it.
Well, read vice then.
All right, I'll tell you what. While I'm reading this, you go read the court order that says any agent of this company can be held in contempt. You're messing with the contempt citations. If you're hot for jail, you just keep it up.
I ain't violating the law.
You're violating the law now, baby.
Can we finish this?
Certainly. Where's the other bulletin board?
In the weaving room.
You want to show it to
me? Yes, hell yes.
Rick.
The manager signals to Rick to open a sliding door. He walks briskly ahead of Reuben.
Good morning, how are you? Morning.
Good morning. Morning. Good morning to you. Good morning. I'm Wachowski, Textile Workers Union of America. Good morning. Morning to you. Good morning, ma'am.
Reuben tips his cap to Norma.
Good morning, Wachowski, Textile Workers Union of America. Good morning. Good morning to you, ma'am.
Norma watches him admiringly.
Good morning. I'm in room 31, the Golden Cherry Motel, if you have any questions. Thank you. Good morning. Good morning to you. Good morning.
Rolls of cotton and a big box are piled up in front of the bulletin board.
Nice. Gentlemen, your average working man is not stupid. He just gets tired. You want to move this out of here, please?
The manager nods to his colleagues who move towards Reuben menacingly. A door slides up. Lujan stands in the doorway. Reuben stands next to him, arms folded in defiance.
Move it! Move the stuff!
The mill managers remove the box and cotton rolls. Norma looks across. Norma walks across the motel car park towards Reuben's room. He is inside, hanging up washing in the bathroom. She stands in the doorway.
Hey, Reuben.
Hey.
You busy?
Oh, yeah, very busy.
May I come in?
Please.
She steps inside the untidy room. It's very cluttered with typewriter, filing cabinets, books and clothes.
Ever clean up around here?
I don't want them messing with my stuff. I know where everything is.
If I joined up with you, would I lose my job?
No way. You can wear a union button as big as a frisbee when you go to work. You can talk union to any mill hands who want to listen, as long as it's during a break. You can take union pamphlets to the mill and pass them along. There's not a goddamn thing they can do to touch you.
I was never a very good Girl Scout. I'll go along with you.
You're the fish I wanted to hook.
Well, you got me. So what the hell are you gonna do with me?
Make a mensch out of you, kid.
You are. Mm-hmm. Where is that?
Somebody who goes to the old folks' home on Saturday morning to visit instead of playing golf. Somebody who puts a dollar in a blind man's cup for a pencil.
I'd do that.
Uh-huh. But would you take the pencil?
Of course I would. I paid for it.
Hey, somewhere between logic and charity, maybe there falls a little shadow.
Reuben, if you put...
We could debate this all night. Here. Fine.
He hands her a union card.
Norma Ray Webster. How come everybody down here has three names?
In the mill staff room, Norma holds a badge.
Come on, Wayne. Let me pin this old thing on you. Cover up the gravy spot on your shirt.
Well, now, what do I get if I do?
You don't get nothing if you don't. Besides, ain't you had enough of that?
Well, you and me, we used to heat up that NCO club down at the base pretty good. Now, remember?
Bygone days.
Well... Then pin it on me for bygone days.
Oh, good, Wayne. I'm so proud of you.
You think we'll ever see that club again, Norma, honey?
Take your wife. She doesn't get out much.
Norma has pinned a badge on him. A manager watches through the glass door.
Looks like you strayed off the reservation, Norma.
Is that right?
You got your old coffee machine at your end.
Yeah, but I don't got a water fountain. I got a cool down.
You cool everything!
Norma sashays away defiantly. Hands in pockets, Norma walks towards the White Community's church where the pastor is painting outside.
Well, Norma, you caught me in my shirt sleeves.
Oh, that's okay.
Maybe we can have some flowers out of your yard for Sunday. Spider mite's eating up everything.
Okay.
Somehow I can help you, Norma?
How long have I been coming to this church, Reverend?
Since you were a little girl.
That's right. I accepted Christ when I was 6 years old, didn't I? Well, would you call me a good Christian?
With a lapse of two, I'd say so.
With a lapse of two. Would you call yourself a good Christian?
That's for the Lord to say.
I want this church for a union meeting next Saturday afternoon. That's blacks and whites sitting together.
This is a house of God.
That's what I'm waiting to see, whether it is or whether it isn't.
You're coming mighty close to blasphemy, Norma.
I've come here and said I sinned and I done wrong and I'm sorry and I ask for God to forgive me. Now, I want to see what this church stands for. I want to see if you'll stand up in that pulpit and say there ought to be justice, there ought to be a union. And if you're smitten and you rise up and the Lord will be on your side. And if you don't, then I say there ain't nothing good for me in that church. And I'm going to leave it flat.
The Reverend looks down at his paintbrush.
We're going to miss your voice in the choir, Norma.
You're going to hear it raised up someplace else.
Norma parks her pickup in the drive of her small wooden house. Lucian and a group of mill workers get out from the back. Sonny is on the porch.
You all go in and sit down. I'll be in there in a minute.
Norma picks up a bag of groceries from the truck and walks over to Jimmy Jerome, who's on the porch next door. Sonny comes out and watches.
We're holding a meeting at our house, Jimmy Jerome. Union business. Afterward, we're having lemonade and cookies. Ginger snaps. I'll roll up the front shade so you can see right in. Wash my windows on Saturday. You shouldn't have any trouble.
She turns on her heel and walks back towards Sonny.
You're going too far now, Norma. This here is our home.
I'm not going too far.
There's a bunch of black men in there. You're going to get us in a whole lot of trouble.
I ain't never had any trouble with black men. The only trouble I ever had in my life was with white men.
Reuben addresses the mill workers in Sonny and Norma's house.
I remember some of you from the Chacayote Church. I did all of the talking that day. Now, I would like for you to speak. Please.
The workers, including Norma, look nervous and downtrodden. Sonny stands apart in the doorway. Eventually, Lucian speaks up.
A man's work should be a man's work, and not a term in jail.
The blacks have been pushed, pulled, and scorned. For what? If the union is what everybody believes in, I'm for it all the way.
Excuse me for saying this with men folks in the room, but when I get my minister cramps, which come pretty hard, they don't let me sit down on my job.
An elderly woman.
They say you gotta keep to your feet, unless you bring a note from the doctor. We wouldn't say we were sick if we wasn't.
You know, I look at a brick wall all day. There used to be a window there. They come and break it up to give us the feeling that we shut in.
My husband, Averill, died of brown lung 2 months ago. His children are going to grow up not even knowing him. I got all his clothes if someone could use them.
Reuben leans forward in his chair. Reuben is drinking a coffee at the kitchen table with Norma. She's pinning up her hair. They are both sweating in the heat.
I'm not getting a message across. 17 people at 800?
Well, you're an outsider. Things move slow around here. This is in New York where you grab a taxi and grab your hat.
Craig's wet the bed.
Oh, jeez. I told him not to drink coke before he went to sleep. Craig?
Come on, Shelly, wake up.
Come on. John's around my neck. Atta boy.
Reuben stands at the kitchen door with his coffee cup while Norma takes her little boy to the bathroom.
You got any ideas?
Yeah. Buy a jug of corn whiskey and meet me here on Saturday. We're going to hit the back roads. Are you finished, honey? Okay. No more cokes before you go to sleep.
Norma and Reuben park next to an old tractor. An elderly man in glasses and a trilby's changing the wheel. They get out and walk towards him. Norma's carrying a sheaf of papers.
Hey, you, Mr. Robinson. How you doing today?
I'm busy.
I'm Norma Ray. You know me.
Yeah, how do you do?
Good to see you. This is my friend Reuben.
Hi, how you doing, Mr. Robinson? Nice to see you. Listen, sir, why don't you read this, if you will, sir, and I'll fix your tire for you. How about that?
You've got a deal.
Yes, sir.
Oh. You know how to do this?
Are you kidding? I don't even got a car.
All right, let's look like we know what we're doing.
The old man looks amused as Reuben tightens the nuts for the spanner.
Reuben?
What?
I think he was taking this thing off.
Reuben turns the spanner the other way. The old man watches. A group of old men sit on a porch whittling small pieces of wood.
Hey! Hey, Joe, how are you? I'll help you read one of these, will you? Hey, James, how you doing? Will you read one of those for me, please? First, say everybody, hi, James, how are you? I want you to meet Reuben here. He's a friend of mine.
How you doing, gentlemen?
Would you like to read one of these, sir?
No,
Elwood?
No, no.
Bob, you want to read one of these?
I wouldn't be interested.
You
Bob,
be interested?
You're not interested in the union?
No, no.
Why, you think you're going to get a better shake from management than you are from the union?
I always have.
You always have, huh?
Ow! Damn glad you cut it.
Reuben has tried whittling, but the knife slipped.
I'll tell him about it, Rob.
Hey, Robert!
Hi, Norma!
Hey, how are you?
Fine.
We come out to talk.
Reuben slips on a cowpat.
It's only grass and water, Reuben.
Norma is rinsing Reuben's shirt and trousers in the river while he swims.
This is where we used to swim when we were kids.
Oh, yeah?
We'd come down here after we hook it off from school and chuck off our clothes and jump in.
The only water hole I ever saw when I was a kid, when we used to open the fire hydrant at 110th and Riverside with a monkey wrench. This is the life.
It's just an old mud hole.
Oh, it's terrific. It's cooling off my mosquito bites.
Oh, well. This is as clean as I'm gonna get this.
Thank you.
She puts down his wet shirt.
Whew. It is hot. I'm coming in.
Go on.
Norma takes off her clothes and gets into the green water and swims towards Reuben, who's naked.
You know what? There used to be this whole farmer that lived around here with a BB gun. I sure hope he's moved away.
Yeah, me too. What the hell is that? Get out. Something flicking around my face.
Those are minnows.
Those are what?
Minnows. They won't hurt you.
You better not.
You sure are a fish out of water down here.
This is not exactly my native habitat.
Reuben, what would you be doing on a day like this at home?
Play some handball at the Y. Go see I eat at the Met. Eat Chinese. Play a little poker. Hit the sack.
I've been two places in my life. I've been to Henleyville. Been on down to Piston.
Oh, you'd love New York. You would. Wow. Super town. Most beautiful women in the world. Best food. Opera. Theater. Ballet.
Reuben.
Hello.
You're homesick.
Okay. God. Oof.
Reuben.
You got a skinny build.
Yeah?
Sonny works out with weights.
I tried that. I dropped them and broke my goddamn foot.
Well, you don't gotta worry. Because you got a head on you. And you use it.
He swims away from her. It's nighttime. Norma is on the phone at her kitchen table.
What? Well, I know why we got a bad connection here, Henry. It's because I think the line is being tapped. Hey, you! Who's ever listening in on this? This is Norma Ray Webster, and I'm talking union to Henry Willis. I'm on tonight and every night. Same old story, no commercials. Union, union, unions. Look, why don't you have your boss man tap me, and then you can go on home to your wife and kids. Henry, Henry? Oh, shit.
You ain't getting any sleep. I ain't getting any sleep. We gotta get to work in the morning.
I got 100 calls to make tonight.
Is that going on our phone bill?
You can take it out of my paycheck, right?
Damn, milk is sour.
I didn't have a chance to get to the market.
Well, you didn't have a chance to get to the market, did you? And you didn't get to the washing, and you didn't get to the kids, and you didn't get to me.
Is that right?
That's right. That's right. Damn TV dinners, kids going around in dirty jeans. I'm going around without altogether.
Sonny is in his shorts. Norma gets up and opens a cupboard. She takes out a saucepan and puts it on the stove. She empties the kettle into it. She tips some potatoes into it.
You want cookies?
She pushes Sonny away from the fridge, opens it and takes out a cabbage and some meat. She crams them in the pan.
You got cookies.
She picks up a laundry bin.
You want laundry?
She tips the laundry in the sink. She adds soap.
You got laundry. You want ironing?
She pulls the ironing board out of the cupboard and spits on the iron.
You got ironing. You want to make love? You get behind me and lift up my nightie and we're going to make love.
She irons a yellow cloth vigorously.
Norma. Norma! Hey.
He walks over to her and gently tucks a wisp of hair behind her ear. They smile at each other and he kisses her tenderly on the cheek.
Nita, will you calm down the golden chair this time? Don't just read it and nod your head at me. Hey, Doris, Millicent, now, Doris, I want you to come on down the golden chair and bring your peanut butter pie. Hey, Vicky, Deborah, how's your little one? Heard he got the measles. Keep him away from mine, will you? Hey, Brenda. How's your new baby? Listen, get on down the golden chair, will you? You can type. I know you can type. Hey, get on down the golden chair, will you, and help us out? Sue, now, come on, read this. Every single word of it's important. And come on down the golden chair, because if I got the time, you got the time.
Norma is giving out leaflets to the mill workers outside the factory gates. She notices her father, who sits alone and walks over to him, sitting beside him.
Well, I don't bump into you much anymore, do I?
You all right, Daddy?
About the same.
Your color's bad. You been drinking?
Them before now and then.
Well, you know it's not good for you.
Oh, honey, what's the difference? Sometimes I wonder when I lie down if I'm going to get up again.
Don't talk old to me. I don't like it.
He puts his arm around Norma.
Listen. I'm going to come over there one of these nights real soon. And take you out to a grand supper. How about that?
Okay.
Okay.
He cuddles her. She rests her head on his knee. He kisses her hair, then gets to his feet and walks away. Norma is typing a list with one finger in Reuben's motel room. It looks more like an office. She carries the list over to Reuben, who's sitting at a desk wearing glasses.
James, coming back?
I guess so.
Where did he go, home?
I don't know. Jeez. I ought to be going home, too.
She walks into the bathroom.
Hey. How's Dorothy?
She's terrific. Thanks.
I see you got a new picture of her.
Oh, yeah? You like it, huh? My mother sent that.
She and your mother, they must get along real well.
Are you kidding? My mother loves her. She's a lawyer, she's lefto, she's Jewish, and she's a great cook. What the hell else could she want?
Norma lets her hair down.
How come she's so smart?
Dorothy? Books? Oh. Oh, madame, your dinner. Le grand banana and a beer.
Wow.
Norma picks up a book.
Who's this? Dylan Thomas.
He was a poet. Genius and a drunk.
She reaches over for a bit of the banana Reuben is holding.
What's he write about?
Love, sex, death, other matters of consequence.
Is he hard to read?
Yeah.
Then why should I bother?
Because maybe I have something to say to you.
Open that, will you?
She points at the beer.
Rage, rage against the dying of the light.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Well, I'll try him.
Good.
Oh. Harold! There ain't nothing on TV but reruns anyway.
Hey, you want to do me a favor? Don't eat while you read. I can't stand banana in my books.
Kvetch, kvetch, kvetch.
Reuben arrives at the church with his leaflets. It's empty. He looks at his watch and sits on a pew at the back. Reuben, in a small blue car, pulls up outside a modest house and runs to the front door, watched by a man in a wheelchair and two children in the garden.
Hey, Warren! Warren! Hey, man, what's happened? Nobody showed up at the meeting.
They got us on a stretcher. Put us on a 3-day week. Twice as much work for half the pay. All on account of you.
Hey, just a second, huh?
Now you just stand there for a minute.
Warren goes inside to the kitchen and comes back to Reuben at the front door.
Oh, man.
Now, there are 6 turnips and 2 quarts of water in there. That's supper for 7 people. Just go sell your union someplace else.
Hey, I'm trying to get you.
He slams the door in Reuben's face. Reuben walks away. At the mill, Norma's father is loading spindles into a container. His right arm goes rigid. He sinks to his knees. A manager crouches next to him as he rubs his arm.
Jimmy, I think I better go and lie down.
Y'all got a break coming up in 15 minutes, Vernon.
I think I better go now, Jimmy.
Y'all hang on, Vernon. Your break's coming up.
Vernon gets to his feet, flexing his arm, and starts working again. Suddenly, he falls face down into the container of spindles. A coffin laden with red and white flowers is being lowered into the ground, watched by Sunny, Norma, her mother, and the children with other mourners under a tarpaulin. Reuben's motel room is full of mill employees working as if in an office.
Hold on to your bucket, Lucius, in a minute.
Mavis? Rhonda?
Norma looks at her watch and loads a copying machine. Another worker arrives.
Hey, Betty. You get off your shift at 3. You're supposed to be here at 3:15. It's 4:15. Where the hell you been? Working for this union or aren't you?
I was getting my tooth filled.
You are getting your beer gut filled.
Shoo your old man out at home and get off me, Norma.
I'm just starting in on you. Now, I'm giving 9, 10, 11, 12 hours here. That's every day. There's a pile of work around here. We're doing our share, but either you do your share, but I don't call yourself a union.
Norma! Shut your cake hole. In fact, get the hell out of the office.
What'd I do? I only said what was true.
Out. Come on.
Norma looks furious and storms out.
Peter, get to work, man. Let's go. Everybody back to work. Come on.
Reuben pats Peter on the shoulder. Norma is sitting alone, looking miserable, in a diner, drinking coffee. Reuben comes in and sits beside her.
Mouth. You're too muscular. You can't come down that hard on a man and leave him his balls. Easy.
Jesus.
If you were in the State Department, we'd be at war.
Right. I had a big mouth.
Mm-hmm.
Reuben is eating her cake.
You know, cotton mill workers are known as trash to some. I know the union's the only way we're going to get our own voice, make ourselves any better. I guess that's why I push.
Our own Mother Joan.
Who's she?
She was some considerable lady. She made it happen for the coal miners in West Virginia.
You ain't mad at me.
If the situation ever called for a smart, loud, profane, sloppy, hard-working woman, I'd pick you every time, Kate.
Well, how come sloppy? Nobody wears girdles anymore.
What are you giving this to me for? I didn't order it.
Well, hey, you ate it.
As he leaves, he hands the bill to Norma, who smiles. Two men in suits come into Reuben's room. Norma is alone, dozing on the bed.
What do you want?
Warshawski around?
Reuben's at the printers.
Pretty late for the printers.
Yeah, well, Reuben keeps him working late.
You're Norma Ray, aren't you?
I'm Mrs. Webster.
We're from the Union National Headquarters. It's Al London, and I'm Sam Dakin.
Is that right? Well, now that you're here, I might as well give you my shopping list. Let me see. We need some envelopes. We need some stamps. We're almost out of typing paper. And hey, we could do with a loudspeaker. How about some typewriters that don't stick?
We're not in office supplies, Mrs. Webster.
And you aren't around here much either.
Ah, hello, Reuben.
Sam, how are you?
All right,
getting fat.
Yeah, put on a couple of pounds.
Al, how are you?
Lousy.
Uh-huh. I got a cold.
What brings you guys?
You're not getting up much of a head of steam, Reuben.
You've had my reports. You know what I'm up against.
We're worried.
That makes three of us.
This is a small Southern Baptist town, Reuben. Got to keep your nose very clean.
Why, you see any snot in mine?
Reuben sits on the edge of the desk.
Maybe Miss Webster'd like to leave.
Why should she leave?
Because this concerns her, and I'm trying to make it easy.
Ah, come on, will you please? It's late. What do you guys want?
Company wants us to look bad. They can use anything they can to make us look bad. Reuben, the mill hands in this town go to church every Sunday. And she's talking union to them.
Reuben looks at Norma, then down at his feet.
They say she's made a porno movie with a local police officer. Very explicit.
Reuben looks across at Norma again.
Show it to me. Run it for me.
Oh, come on. That doesn't have to be a movie, just as people talk like there's one. The lady has an illegitimate child. She slept around.
She takes naps on your bed late at night?
I don't believe this.
What do you mean you don't believe
it? Are we in the union business or are we in the character assassination business? All of a sudden, after I put in an 18-hour day, I got the Legion of Decency on my hands here. Do you know that this woman has broken her ass for this organization? She doesn't see a kid. She doesn't have time to take a bath. What the hell do I care if she has round heels? What is this, the Catholic Church? We're going to canonize her?
Hey, Reuben, it's your game.
You're goddamn right it
but
is.
But we think she ought to
then
die.
Then you make it stick if you can't get the hell out of here. Just get the hell out of here anyway.
Reuben goes to the door and holds it open.
I'm sorry, Miss Webster.
The union men leave. Reuben slams the door and goes to his desk. Norma watches him.
I don't want to hurt the union, Reuben. I'll quit if you want me to.
What were you doing sleeping? You were supposed to type some letters for me, weren't you?
Yeah.
Norma sits by the typewriter. At the mill, a manager pins a notice on the board for the attention of all employees. Norma, wearing a union badge, is on the payphone at the mill.
Hey, it's me, Norma. Okay, it's I, Norma. Will you forget the grammar? Look, I gotta talk to you right away.
She realizes her boss is watching her.
Maybe you can meet me at my break. Talking to my kids. Make sure they got home from school, all right?
Your kids are with my kids at the grocery store buying candy.
Maybe that's why my tennis field just busted me.
Outside the rear of the mill, a group of white workers are beating up a black man. Norma comes out and sees the fight.
You want union? You get union. Okay?
Lucian and another black man run out to break it up. Norma stands inside the wire fence, watching as Reuben drives up and runs over. The beaten man is bundled inside by his friends.
What started this?
They put up a letter. They're telling the whites that the blacks are going to take over the union. They're going to run it and push them around. And any time you tell a white man a black man's going to sit on his head, this is what you get.
I love it when these pricks get mean. We can take legal action. You get me the letter.
I just can't waltz in there and take it off a board. They're watching me.
How good is your memory?
I still don't know the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag.
Get somebody to help you. Write it down a line at a time.
Oh, Jesus, reminds me of the time I pinched a lipstick off a five and dime.
Did you get caught?
I went back next week for curlers.
And you know how to do it, kid.
Okay!
Norma runs back into the mill, carrying a cup of coffee as she walks into the staff room. She stands by a notice board and sips her coffee, trying to look nonchalant. She looks up at the board, then closes her eyes in concentration. She looks up again, then moves away. She sits astride a bench in the mill showers and writes on a roll of lavatory paper.
Control it as you may see fit. If now, damn.
You black employees are being told that by going into the union en masse, you can dominate it and control it in this plant as you may see fit. Where's the rest of it?
That's all I could get.
Matahari.
Now, they was watching us every single minute.
It's the best chance we got to nail these bastards, to catch them with their pants down. So don't tell me you can't remember it, sweetheart. You walk up to it. You stand there, and you copy it down, word for word, line for line. You get me the date, you get me the signature, you get it all, and you get it back here to me. Come on.
I'm gonna get fired.
I'll run your benefit.
Oh, thanks a lot.
Hey! You want to get massage, you go to a massage parlor. Either we get beat or we don't get beat. Come on.
I got 3 kids, a drawer full of bills, and a husband who doesn't like what I'm doing. Now, I'll do it. But I don't need your boot on my backside, Mr. Warshawski.
I've been sitting around here for 3 days.
Reuben, I'm going to tell you something.
What are you going to tell me, Norma?
You've been away from home a long time. You've been all business, and you're getting crabby. Reuben, you need yourself a woman.
Funny you should mention it. Tonight's the night.
Well, what would Dorothy say?
Wear rubber.
Norma goes goes up to the notice board with pen and paper, followed by the mill managers.
Can't copy this letter.
It's up on the bulletin board. I'm going to copy it.
Norman, you better not.
I'm going to take down every word of this letter. It's my break time, and I'm going to take down every word of this letter. Just stay out of my way. I'm going to take down every word of this letter. Colonel. Rise.
Hello, Norma.
Mr. Mason, you know who I am. Means.
Norma, put the pencil
Loss
and paper away.
Of
you stop
work.
What you're doing right now.
Of
you're going to leave.
Hey.
The law is going to come after Loss you and take you right out of this plant.
Job. Mr. Mason, I started this, and I'm going to finish it. Serious violence.
She puts the pen in her mouth and tears the sheet of paper off her clipboard, folds it and tucks it in her waistband, watched by her boss and the managers.
Let's go to my office, Norma.
She follows him into his office with the managers.
Why did you make those personal phone calls on company time?
Seated in front of her boss, Norma looks up at the managers, then raises her clipboard.
I want you all to spell out your names for me.
Don't be foolish, Norma Ray.
Mr. Mason, no one around here is on my side. And I'm not going to leave until I set down all your names on this piece of paper.
Lady, I want you off the premises now. You phone your husband, you come over here and tell him to fetch you. I want you out of here right quick.
She stands up and confronts one of the managers, who steps to one side to let her through the door. Followed by a security man, she walks back onto the factory floor, dumps her clipboard, and goes over to her machine with a pained expression. A security man takes her arm.
Norma Ray.
Forget it! I'm staying put! Right where I am! It's gonna take you, and the police department, and the fire department, and the National Guard to get me out of here! I'll wait for the sheriff to come and take me home, and I ain't gonna budge till he gets here!
She climbs onto a table. Squatting, she writes in big letters on a card, Union, stands up and holds it over her head, turning around for all to see it. The workers all stand still, looking up at her. Proudly, then goes over to her machine and switches it off. Her friend follows suit, folding her arms. Breathing heavily, Norma holds up her card to another section of the mill. A black woman stares at her, reaches back, and switches off her machine. Mouth quivering, Norma turns around so the rest of the workers can see her card. A girl with glasses switches off her machine with a flourish and puts her hands on her hips. An older woman does the same. As she turns, more and more workers switch off their machines. Norma keeps turning. Lucian switches off his machine. Gradually, all the machinery grinds to a halt as the levers are pulled. Norma keeps turning. Managers walk onto the factory floor, led by a very tall policeman in shirt sleeves. Norma lowers her sign and smiles. She's surrounded by the managers and security staff.
on down now, Norma Ray. Come on down now.
She's breathing heavily.
You heard what I said. Come on down.
She drops the card, smiling uncertainly. She steps down off the table.
Lamar? I want you to put it in writing that Sheriff Lamar Miller is going to take Norma Ray Webster straight home, and I want you to sign it, and I want you to hand it to me.
Don't you tell me what to do, young lady. You're getting nothing from me in writing. So, Mason, you want her off the premises.
Take her out.
I don't know if I want to get in the same car with you and nobody else.
Lamar, I ain't gonna bite you.
Norma takes off the tool holster from around her waist. She removes her apron. She walks ahead of the security men, pulling a lever to open the sliding door. More of the managers follow her. Two stay behind, looking at the workforce. The boss goes back into his office.
As police car, you're taking me to jail! No! No! No!
Put that trap in there!
No!
You're going with me!
No!
You're going to jail!
No! No!
Get over here!
No! 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 No!
Get in there now!
No!
Kicking and lashing out, Norma is manhandled into the back of a police car. She stares out of the window, mouth open, panting. The tall policeman leads Norma into the police station. A blonde desk sergeant takes notes.
Webster, Norma Ray. 704, Priester Road, Henleyville. She's white, female, 31. Occupation, textile. Fair complexion, brown hair, brown eyes. Arrest number, 2238B. Charge, disorderly conduct. Norma Ray, you going with her now.
The desk sergeant takes Norma's arm and slowly leads her down a corridor to a cell. Norma is grim-faced. The tall policeman follows.
Might as well sit down.
Norma sits on the lower bunk.
You got one phone call. Better call Sonny.
I'll be calling my union organizer.
It's dark. Reuben is driving Norma.
I know the first time you're in is bad.
Norma puts her hands over her face, then arms over her head as she sobs.
It comes with the job. Saw a pregnant woman on a picket line get hit in the stomach with a club. I saw a boy of 16 get shot in the back. I saw a guy get blown to hell and back when he tried to start up his car in the morning. And you just got your feet wet on this one.
Norma calms down. Sonny is washing up.
Norm, you all right?
Norma walks straight past Sonny.
Put the kids to bed.
She puts the light on in the children's bedroom. There are three beds in a row. She goes over to one and pulls back the covers.
Craig, honey, wake up. It's Mama. Wake up, sugar. I want to talk to you. Come on. Put your arms around my neck. Alice, wake up. Nellie, wake up. I want to talk to you, sweetheart. Come on in the living room. Come on. Let it go.
She carries her little boy out of the bedroom. The other two children follow. She pauses by a shelf and picks up a biscuit tin. She goes past Sunny over to the sofa and sits down with all the children looking solemn. The little boy is on her lap.
I love you, kids. That's the first thing. And Sunny loves you. You got the both of us. Second thing is, I'm a jailbird. Now you're going to be hearing that, and a lot of other things, but you're going to hear it from me first. Millie, your daddy, his name was Buddy Wilson, and he died 4 months after you was born. Craig, I wasn't never married to your daddy. And he wasn't Buddy. And he's not Sonny. He's another man. And there have been others in my life. You're going to be hearing about them, too. I'm not perfect. I made mistakes.
She takes the lid off the biscuit tin and takes out some photos and hands them to the children.
Millie, these are pictures of your daddy. Craig, I got pictures of your daddy. They belong to you.
She strokes the hair of the little girl.
If you go in the mill, I want life to be better for you than it is for me. That's why I joined up with the union, and that's why I got fired for it. You understand me?
Craig nods.
Now, you kids, you know what I am. And you know that I believe in standing up for what I think is right.
She kisses Craig.
Go to the bathroom before you get back into bed. Take your pictures.
He gets off her lap. The other two children get up off the sofa. She puts the lid back on the tin and pushes her hair back behind her ear.
I take a bath. It was nice in that jail.
She stands up and wipes her mouth with the back of her hand. Sunny is seated, head bowed. She puts the tin back on the shelf. Reuben is still standing by the front door. He makes to leave.
She had one call and she called you.
She knew I could make bail.
You come in here, you mix her up, you turn her head all around. She's all changed. I didn't want that. I didn't want her to be front runner. What's going to happen to us now?
She stood up on a table. She's a free woman. Maybe you can live with it, maybe you can't.
Reuben leaves. Sunny, bare-chested, comes into the bedroom carrying a trainer. Norma is in bed.
Busted my shoelace.
There's another one in the drawer.
I busted that one last week.
Sunny stares at Norma.
Did you ever sleep with him?
No. But he's in my head.
Sunny is expressionless.
I'm gonna see you through getting tired, getting sick.
getting old. I'm gonna see you through anything that comes up. And there's nobody else in my head. Just you.
Sonny smiles tenderly and turns out the light and gets into bed. Norma, looking at him lovingly, snuggles up to his back, her arm over him. At the mill, a manager and Lucien are seated at a table counting ballot papers. Other mill managers look on. Press photographers crowd round the table. The huge workforce is gathered round. Some carry placards. It's very hot. They look on anxiously. The two men check the papers, swap them, then record the votes on lists. Many fan themselves. A woman mops her neck, looking uncomfortable, her face shiny with perspiration. Her eyes shut. She collapses to the floor. Two women help her up and wipe her face with a handkerchief. She puts her arm round a man, clinging to him and stroking his cheek. The manager and Lucien hand two pieces of paper to a third man at the table. He looks at them, stands up, and picks up a megaphone.
Folks, ballots tabulated for the O.P. Henley Company against the union, 373.
Lynette, grim-faced, shuts her eyes. Another bites her lips. Outside the mill fence, Reuben and Norma gaze up at the sky. Reuben looks through the wire fence. The man with the megaphone holds up his hand to silence the crowd.
Count for the union, 427.
The workers throw up their arms in delight and jump up and down. Some embrace each other. Lucien clenches his fist and takes his hat off, holding it aloft. The woman who fainted sobs in the arms of the man who held her up, clasping a hand over her mouth. Lynette suddenly breaks into a grin, half crying. The mill managers, with the security men, file out through the jeering crowd. The photographers follow them, the crowd punching the air, waving their placards. Outside the fence, Reuben and Norma look at each other and grin. Reuben turns and looks through the fence. They walk away from the fence, smiling and looking relieved.
Straight through?
Yes.
Well, you better stop for coffee. Stay awake.
I got a thermos in the car.
Reuben looks over his shoulder at the press coming out of the mill.
Well.
Well?
Well.
Well.
So, what are you going to do now?
Live.
Yeah.
What else?
So you drop me a line once in a while, okay?
I'm going to read your mail.
Oh, my mother. How about I send you a copy of Dylan Thomas?
I already bought one for myself.
You did. Nobody can do anything for you, huh?
You've done something for me. A lot.
Reuben takes his car keys from his shoulder bag.
Well, you did something for us. A mitzvah.
What is that?
That's a good work.
They pause by his car.
I don't say goodbye. I have been known to cry.
Well, what do you say?
Be happy. Be well.
Same to you.
He smiles and looks down awkwardly.
Best wishes don't seem hardly enough. I'd like to thank you.
Norma nods.
I do. I thank you for your companionship, your stamina, your horse sense, and 101 laughs. I also enjoyed very much looking at your shining hair and your shining face.
Reuben, I think you like me.
I do.
I was going to buy you a tie clip or some shaving lotion or something, but I didn't know what you'd like.
Norma, what I've had from you has been sumptuous.
He holds out his hand. They shake hands. Norma frowns. He gets into his car. She closes the car door and sighs, hands by her side.
Bliss the child of a working man. She knows too soon who she is. And bliss the hands of a working man.
He pulls away. His car is laden with filing cabinets. Norma watches impassively. The end.
Like the river flows and turns.